We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson.
And Holiday, the dribble penetration. So tough going to the goal.
High up on the rim to rip it down.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to In the Know. This is an episode brought to you by Harry's. Harry's.com/Blue Wire has a really cool deal for you if you're into shaving your face or any other part of your body. Hey, man, I feel like Harry's is pretty cool. I actually got a kit from them last week, and I was very impressed. It came with some shaving cream, which looked really cool. Obviously, a razor, multiple sets of blades, coupon for blades if I need more, free replacements, some of them. And I was impressed by the quality, and I haven't used it yet. I will soon. But good. Go for Harry's.
I got one back when we first started doing ads for them. And actually, it's still... the shaving cream that came with the kit is still my travel shaving cream. It has not exhausted itself yet, which pretty much goes to show how much I literally shave the day before or the morning of a meeting, and then other than that I just kind of don't. So but it's
sure your fiance loves that.
I feel like there's a tipping point where it's like, you know, the scruff is cool, and then it looks good, and then it's this like instantly just falls off. Like, nope, shave now. So that's typically how it works. But I feel like the older I've gotten, the lazier I've gotten with that stuff. But Harry still comes in the clutch when I need it. So
we're married, and then you have no excuse to shave. Just be like, what are you gonna do? We're married.
that argument works for a lot of different topics though, besides shaving. And so that can be a two can play that game situation. So, oh, we got breaking news with my boy Sheck Diallo.
Oh, where did he go? Where did he go? Where did he sign?
And he got Phoenix.
Wow. 2-year deal. I heard he had talked to Houston and Toronto and Miami. Phoenix is new. Wow.
Maybe he's getting more money from them. Or maybe he got a second, like a player option for the second year. I don't know. So we'll see what the 2-year deal looks like. But
good for Jack.
Former Pelicans big men, saw them everywhere but the Pelicans today.
This has now become a podcast where we will talk solely about Jack Diallo. We were looking for content, and here is content in our laps.
So first, Christian Wood gets claimed by the Pistons, and now Jack Diallo is off to Phoenix. Well, good. I hope they – I mean, I'm a little bummed that Wood's ending up in Detroit because they've kind of – I don't want to say they have a logjam of big men, but –
Phoenix should have picked up Christian Wood.
Yeah.
He's better than Diallo.
I agree.
That's not a road we want to go down early in the podcast, I guess.
Okay. So we know where Diallo's gone.
That's cool. Good for Diallo. So keeping it on track with the Pelicans had an introductory press conference for Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Derek Favors yesterday over on Airline Drive. I got a chance to go to it, had some observations wanted to talk about and get your opinion on. My first observation, the moment all the players are entering the room, it was apparent that Brandon Ingram is about the same size as Derek Favors, which is really cool because he's going to be on the wing. I mean, obviously not the same size in terms of heft or girth, but he is about the same height and definitely as lengthy as advertised. So that was interesting. But the presser kicked off with David Griffin speaking a bit on all of the players. He touched on how each of the players wanted to be a part of the New Orleans family. Derek Favors chose to go to the Pelicans. Utah could have sent him to any team. The Pelicans were a team of his choice. Josh Hart went out of his way and called David Griffin and said, hey, I know you can trade me for some assets. Don't trade me. I really want to be a part of what's going on. And the others, Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, also shared that sentiment per David Griffin. And yeah, I mean, the presser was pretty standard. I don't think there was too much new out of it per se. There were a couple interesting points I wanted to touch on. I think a lot was talked about the potential defense of this team, and that kind of makes sense with Lonzo and Ingram and Favors and all that. But they spent a good bit talking about unlocking the untapped potential of Derek Favors on the offensive end. How much do you buy into that?
The potential of Favors. Sorry, you cut out for a second.
Favors on the offensive end. The potential of him. They said he has untapped potential.
I think a lot of the untapped commentary comes around what his role was with Utah, and specifically the fact that really for the last 2 or 3 years he hasn't played. He's played largely out of position, not entirely, but with Gobert there, I think he's a five. And unlike a former Pelicans big man, he is very happy and comfortable playing the five. I am
shots at Christian Wood already, man.
I think like he was growing in his career in Utah and playing and being a guy who played both positions, and then Gobert burst onto the scene as this defensive player of the year type player, and he was pushed outside, maybe it was obviously a logjam with those two guys who were playing together, and so he never got a ton of time with the first unit as the five, and I think that the Pelican spacing issues notwithstanding, I think that opens up some different things on offense, especially with the different with the higher level of playmakers that he'll be playing alongside in New Orleans relative to what he was playing with in Utah. I mean, it's night and day, really. Guys who can – the number of players who are going to be on that roster are playing together in the same lineups who really can create. Utah was more of a defensive team, obviously, and, I mean, they put the right pieces in place now, I think, on the offensive end, but I think this is going to be a new situation for Favors.
Yeah, I mean, I reran the Gentry ball data courtesy of Patrick at Phil J. Fry, if you don't follow him. And this time around, we included data that had free throw numbers, which we didn't have last time around. And we basically took it from play-by-play data, so we were able to remove offensive rebounds. So we got essentially what I think is a closer look at early offense, because I think the criticism last time was, well, bigs are favored because bigs are favored because they get a lot of offensive rebounds and that doesn't take much time off the clock. So we limited offensive rebounds, and Derek Favors still is fantastically efficient in early offense. However, because he played on a slow ass Utah team, he doesn't have that many attempts, or his frequency is not that high. Mm-hmm. Do you think Favors is going to be able to run up and down the floor with this team and the way this team hopes to run? Or do you think he's going to be a creature of habit from playing such a slow pace in Utah?
I think he's going to adapt well. I can't speak to his conditioning and his stamina to play that way for, I don't know what type of stretches he'll be able to do that for. That's yet to be seen, I think. But I think as far as adaptability, I'm not concerned there. I think he's going to be excited to get out and run and play that type of style.
Okay. That's fair. Moving on to some of the other players, there was a question about where Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball stand in terms of their injury recovery. I think Ingram mentioned that he hasn't been able to really get out and shoot yet, but he's a couple weeks away. He has been doing a lot of lower body work and dribbling and ball handling. So I think that's where he stands. And then Lonzo said he's really close to being able to resume regular activities. So I'm not really sure what that means. Are you concerned that they aren't like fully ready at this stage of their recovery yet?
No, I mean, maybe under the last regime. Not to say that I don't like the relentless criticism that the last medical staff got. And I know we talked at length about what was, what we can consider bad luck versus bad practices, but I don't think there's any secret to say that this new staff is a highly respected group, or Aaron Nelson is one of the most respected guys in the league at his job. And so I trust him, and they made this trade. I think they knew the risks, and they were prepared and knew and did their homework. And I think until I hear otherwise, I think everything's still on track and going according to plan. It feels weird not to be skittish about something like this, especially as a New Orleans fan, but I'm not yet. Are you? Do you feel differently?
No, I don't feel skittish. I do think the Pelicans will proceed with an abundance of caution, like they did with Zion, into the regular season. I don't think you're going to see these guys getting like 36 minutes right off the gate, right? You think that's a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think they'll probably work pretty closely with them. Build out a rehab regimen that also continues to strengthen things that they need to strengthen throughout the season. And they'll probably monitor them very closely in terms of any lingering issues that they may be experiencing. So, yeah, you're right. I trust the Griffin, the staff, pretty completely. Another interesting thing that David Griffin mentioned, I asked him, with waving Christian Wood, their roster stands at 15, if you include Darius Miller. Do they anticipate any change coming? Do they, before camp starts, are they going to make any additional moves? And his response was basically no. They feel pretty comfortable with where they're at. Barring any like unforeseen opportunities that become available, they doesn't anticipate happening. This is what they're going to stick with. And he went to talk on about how the rest of the roster looks really strong as well, and how Jahlil Okafor has gotten himself into tremendous shape. And this is now a few times that Jahlil has gotten a very public vote of confidence. So that's something to definitely monitor, and we can touch on quickly. But do you have any reactions to the Pelicans roster kind of being set? Do you buy his words there? Do you think it's true?
I just... I just feel bad for you, man. I know where your mind's been at over the past couple of weeks, and that I'm not going to say it's confirmation of the fact that your boy Etuan is going to be here start the year, but until we hear anything else, I think that's the working assumption. So beyond the jokes about Moore, I think it's interesting in that and Mike Pelletier wrote about this recently, I think this morning, about who gets the minutes beyond the guys you know are going to play. So particularly in the backcourt. So whether it's Lonzo, Redick, and Drew, you know those guys are going to get minutes in the backcourt and the perimeter. Ingram will get his too, maybe a little bit at the four, but also mostly on the perimeter. So you've got these select few minutes left, and Etuan Moore is a guy who was playing a bunch last year. And then you've got these other players as well who arguably deserve some minutes. And it's a different problem that the Pelicans haven't had in the past. But that's my one takeaway, is if this is the roster going into the regular season, who's screwed out of minutes to start the year?
I hope it's Etuan Moore. If I had a say in it, Drew and –
You would have sent him to, like, Alaska by now if you had a say in it.
No, I'm not that mean. I'm going to send him to Phoenix. yikes. I would have sent him to Minnesota. That's close enough to Alaska, right? No, I like Drew and JJ obviously getting the most of the minutes at either guard position. I think I like Lonzo around 25 to 27 to kind of start the year at the point guard position. I'm sure they're going to play a lot of three guard sets, which is weird, because they do have some forward depth. But I really want the fourth guard in the rotation to be Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I don't think Etuan Moore should get those minutes. I don't think Frank Jackson should get those minutes. I would love to see a bench of Alexander-Walker, JJ, Josh Hart, Nicola Melli / Darius Miller at the four, and then Jahlil at the five. You basically have Nickeil running a pick and roll every single play with a completely spaced out floor, as well as much as you can get in the transition. I want to see that look until it doesn't work, and then, you know, give guys other opportunities. But that's where I would leave it at.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll learn more as camp and preseason come, but it's a tough discussion right now. It's difficult. Like there's an argument to put Moore on the bench, but I don't think it's if you're trying to win games, if that's your number one priority, I don't think that's the right decision. I think
to put Moore on the bench, as in like come off the bench, or to not play him at all.
To not play him at all.
Hmm.
I don't think it would be the right decision. But you about to go off?
No, I just say I disagree, but we can move on.
All right.
I guess you would definitely want to play Moore over Frank Jackson. That's for sure.
Yep.
But I'm not sure how much Moore has contributed to winning so far. But again, we don't want to go off on this tangent. I don't think I buy David Griffin saying that they don't anticipate on something happening. That's exactly what he said about the AD trade, where he's like, oh, I don't anticipate something being done before the draft. And then, like, well before the draft, in the weekend on Saturday, it happened.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think it's just, you know, him hedging his bets. And I'm sure if nothing happens, they'll roll into the season with who they have. And at some point, they'll combine the salaries of Moore and Miller to go get that other guy that they feel like they might need. But it is what it is.
At Blue Wire, we don't just partner with any advertiser. We want to make sure we're giving our listeners a good deal on a product. That's exactly why we love doing business with Harry's. Harry's is giving Blue Wire listeners a shaving kit for just $3. Go to harrys.com/bluewire and you'll save $10 on a trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. If you're not familiar with Harry's, it's time you should be. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. The founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3.
There was another question in the press conference directed to Derek Favors about if he had a prior relationship with Jrue Holiday. Thought the response was pretty cool. Apparently they go back, they know each other from high school, and Jrue reached out to Derek after the trade was done. So nothing, you know, world breaking, but pretty neat that there is already familiarity there and there's already respect. Griff has been quadrupling down on the idea of pushing Jrue as an MVP candidate. Do you, I love the vote of confidence that he has in Jrue, but what do you make of all that?
Yeah, it all goes with the messaging that the franchise has really getting behind, not just Griffin individually, but I just think the Pelicans have taken extra steps to really get in the forefront of people's minds, whether it's social media. You know, the Pelicans have done a great job on Twitter from their official account and really get increasing engagement and really just top to bottom making the Pelicans a brand and a team that people know about. And I think that extends to the players too. And especially Jrue Holiday as the guy who's being positioned as the best player on this team, a guy who, even if he's not an MVP candidate, he's unquestionably one of the best players in the league. And so I fully support him. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think it's interesting because the terms that David Griffin has been using to kind of represent the vets that they've picked up is sweat equity. He's used that term a lot, and basically meaning that the veterans we have can also play. And they're not just going to be guys who can talk, but just sit on the bench, kind of like we had with Perkins or even Solomon Hill, right? These guys like Favors and Redick are actually going to go out there and contribute in meaningful ways because they're good basketball players. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to sort of see this translate a little bit analytically, because the 538 projections came out earlier, I think today. And the Pelicans are seated eighth in the West with a projected win total of 43, which I feel like is reasonable. I mean, I don't know about the seeding in the West part, but I feel like 43 is not an unreasonable win total.
No, I don't think it is. And I've seen, and I haven't looked at any of the, actual articles yet, but I've seen numbers floated out there, and there's a pretty wide range, it seems like. For anywhere, I saw 36 somewhere, I saw 46 somewhere, I saw 43. 46 seems all over the top. I don't know what metrics are being used there, but I think this is a team that once they find their defensive identity, is a team that's going to be top 10 in the league defensively.
And so here's, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was like, here's where the 538 projections kind of get dicey, right? So they have the Dastardly Mavericks at 44 wins above the Pelicans, which, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they have three teams that were in the playoffs last year below the Pelicans. The Thunder, for obvious reasons. The Trailblazers, which is interesting, and the Spurs. They project the Spurs to win 37. They project the Trailblazers to win 41. I'm not confident those teams are going to miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I agree across the board. I think OKC, especially if what Woj is reporting today is true and Chris Paul is actually going to play some or all of the year there, I think they're a really interesting team because obviously you lose Paul George, but I think Gallinari fits in really well there, and you still got the rest of your players, or I guess the trade Grant, but I don't think they make the playoffs, but I do think they may be written off a little too quickly by some people. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. The Blazers and the Spurs – I mean, the Spurs are going to be arguably better than last year, right? I mean, they're getting Murray back. Defense, second team all defense, 20 minute per game, DeJounte Murray, but still he's going to help. And I don't – I mean – So they
have Lonnie Walker, who will be able to play this year. They picked up Damari Carroll. They had that whole fiasco with Marcus Morris.
Yeah, right.
And they traded away Davis Bertans in anticipation that they would sign. And instead, they replaced him with Trey Lyles, who I don't think is a good NBA player. Mm-hmm. But low usage Twitter seems to love him. I think the Spurs will be adequate. It just depends on what happens with DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. They'll be adequately boring. They'll still be the most boring team out there. But they'll be good because Pop is a wizard, and they'll probably be a top 10 defense and a good enough offense to sneak in.
Yeah, and then you've got some teams. I mean, yeah, a lot of this is tough to reconcile. I mean, like, I think Utah got way better. And I mean, to be clear, we're talking about the difference between the Clippers at number 6 and the Lakers at number 3 is 3 wins. And so, I mean, and the Warriors having 50 without Clay, without Clay for most of the year and no more KD is interesting. It just goes to show the value of Steph and Draymond. The Rockets being so far out in front as the 1 seed, that just feels like Russ is still a very good NBA player. He's obviously not quite at his peak anymore, but he's still very good. James Harden's obviously an MVP candidate. We're just going to put the projected value added of those two players together, and we get 58 wins, even not considering fit at all. And I don't see how they're that much better than the rest of the league.
I disagree. I think the Rockets are really good. I think Harden has shown
7 games better than the next best team in the West.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't
believe in the Nuggets. I mean, I don't. I think what's likely going to happen is Utah is probably going to win like 55 games. And Lakers are probably going to win 55 games. So, like, I don't think the Rockets are that much better than 55. But seeing them at 58, yeah, I totally see them hitting around that number if they stay healthy enough. And I see them being the best team in the West. I think Harden has done a lot with very little teams. And the system just really works for them. And I think Russ is a straight-up better fit than Chris Paul.
I do think that Russ makes them better than Chris Paul did. Fit. I don't know if I'd say – I don't really care about fit because I think he just raises the ceiling of the team because he's better. I just don't think they're that much better. Like, I think the Clippers are better than them. Like, I really do. I think you can make a case for the Lakers if AD and LeBron play a full season, apart from whatever games they rest LeBron in. I think you can make
I'd forgotten hard. About the Clippers. You're right. yeah, I still think the Clippers may not go for the top seed. I think they're going to load manage their way into the playoffs and get home court. I think the Rockets are.
We know the Rockets don't do that. So
yeah, I think the Rockets are top seed gunners. I guess my point is, you're right. You bring up good points about the Clippers. My point is, I don't see it unreasonable for the Rockets to be at the top of the West. I don't see them unreasonable to be that much better than the Nuggets because I don't believe in the Nuggets, but I'd forgotten about the other good teams. I think Utah is going to be very good. I think the Lakers are going to be adequately good, like a 55-win team, and the Clippers are going to be very good for sure.
Yeah, that was my only point is that like with the five – I was just thinking about the degrees of the tiers, I guess, so to speak, and 538 has the Rockets at 58, no one else above 51. And obviously like that's I don't think that the Rockets are 7 games better than any other team in the West, even if you assume the Clippers are right there with them. That's just really interesting to me too. Like, I don't understand how the Clippers are only at a 48 win projection when they didn't. I mean, they added Paul George and Kawhi, and their depth is still among the best in the league. I don't get it. I don't know how that rolls up to only 48 wins.
I think in 538's article, they talked about factoring in load management.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of who they lost. I mean, Gallinari is an analytics darling, so he definitely impacts that projection in terms of like a wins above replacement standpoint. Mm-hmm. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm sure, contributed in some ways. But you're right, they didn't lose anyone of significance outside of those two guys.
Yeah.
They should be a lot better. A lot better. Way better.
But yeah, I mean – I think, are you, So what are your, I think most people seem to be generally aligned on who the top six teams in the league are. I guess there's maybe some sort of deviation on the Warriors, depending on how much you think or when you think Klay's coming back. But it really feels like Rockets, Nuggets, Lakers, Warriors, Jazz, Clippers, in some order, is the sixth at the top. And that leaves two spots left for the remaining teams. And I don't know. To me, it's hard not to put the Spurs and Blazers in those last two spots until we have any other data to suggest.
I'd put the Pelicans squarely at nine after those two teams.
I think that's where I am right now, too.
So the last part of the podcast, we're going to close on the most important aspect. Do you think Brandon Ingram was really sad to be there?
No, man. Like, this is there's some people who are very I don't know, extroverted and share their feelings on their sleeve, and there are some who are not. And I just don't think Ingram is one of the guys who, like, Josh Hart is very vocal, very clear about how he's feeling at any given time. Ingram's not that guy, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, being there, I didn't see anything off-putting about his body language. Those pictures that were taken of him not smiling were definitely selectly taken. There are also plenty of pictures of him smiling throughout the press conference. He laughed at several of the questions and the jokes. It seemed like a standard press conference. If you're trying to be a body language expert there, you're doing too much, is my thought. But I will say, I was in the room and I couldn't hear a damn word he was saying. Like, I had to go back and watch the press conference again just to listen to the parts that were picked up on the mic, because I'm like, what is this dude saying? And it's the same way with Julius Randle. Maybe they, like, trained together on how to interview back when they were in LA. But with Julius Randle, when you would be in the locker room, you would literally be 2 feet from him. You would have your phone in his face. You'd ask him a question and be like, and you'd be like, what is he saying? And then you, like, run the tape back later and at full volume. You're like, oh, okay. He said we played really hard and need to play better defense. Okay. I understand now. But that's the same vibe that I got from Brandon Ingram. It was just a very, very quiet talker.
Well, at least you're getting this information now before you head into the season. And I know the right interviewing strategies as you
Now you know.
There. Yeah.
Now you know. Okay. Well, this has been a good podcast, and hopefully this is enough to hold y'all over until the next week.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.